Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Hello and welcome as we share our online service today, the fifth Sunday after Trinity. Our thoughts and prayers are very much with Matthew, who at the time of recording is in hospital, awaiting the operation to repair his injured arm. We also remember Jane and Sam. We ask for God's blessing on Matthew and also the hospital staff who were caring for him, and we pray for a successful outcome for his treatment. Our first hymn is, As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. The Father forgives us in Christ and heals us by the Holy Spirit. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done what is wrong in your sight. We are sorry and repent. In your love, have mercy on us. cleanse us from our sin, renew a right spirit within us, and grant us the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. We now have the Welsh hymn, Arglwydd Dyma Fi. The Collect for the fifth Sunday after Trinity. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the Church is governed and sanctified, hear our prayer, which we offer for all your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry they may serve you in holiness and truth, to the glory of your name, through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Darlleniad o ail ythyr Paul at y Corinthiaid. Gwn am ddyn yng Nghrist a gipiwyd bedair blynedd ar ddeg yn ôl, i fyny i'r drydedd nef, a'i yn y corff, a'i allan o'r corff, ni wn, y mae diw'n gwybod. Gwn i'r dyn hwnnw gael ei gipio i fyny i Baradwys, a'i yn y corff, a'i allan o'r corff, ni wn, y mae diw'n gwybod. Ac fe glywodd dreithi'r anrheithadwy, geiriau na rwys hawl gan ddyn i'w llefaru. Am hwnnw yr wyf yn ymffrostio. Amdanaf ei hun, nid ymffrostiaf, ar wahân i'm gwendidau. Ond os diwysaf ymffrostio, ni byddaf ffôl, oherwydd dweud y gwir y byddaf. Ond y matal o wnaf, rhag i neb feddwl mwy ohonof na'r hyn y mae'n ei weld ynof neu'n ei glywed gennyf. A rhag i mi ymddyrchafu o achos rhyfeddod y pethau a ddatgyddiwyd i mi, rhoddwyd dreinen ym ynghawd, cenad o ddiwrth Satan, i'n poeni rhag i mi ymddyrchafu. Ynglyn â hyn, deisyfais ar yr arglwydd dair gwaith ar iddo symud oddi wrthif. Ond dywedodd wrthif, digon ei tif yng ngras i, mewn gwendi dy daw fy nerth i'w anterth. Felly, yn llawen iawn fe ymffrostiaf fwy fwy yn fy ngwendidau er mwyn i nerth Crist orffwys arnaf. Am hynny, yr wyf yn ymhyfrydu er mwyn Crist mewn gwendid, sarhad, gofid, erledigaeth a chyfyngder, oherwydd pan wyf wan, yna rwyf yn gryf. Dyma air yr arglwydd.
A reading from the Gospel of Mark. Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offence at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honour, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages, teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey, except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. Here ends our second reading. I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Imagine you're preparing to go out for the day. Perhaps you're going walking somewhere off the beaten track, where there would be no opportunities to buy food or drink. What would you want to put in your rucksack? Well, you may decide you need to take your sandwiches, biscuits, a flask of coffee, a bottle of water, a wallet with money or bank cards, mobile phone, perhaps a spare jumper, waterproof clothing. and a map and first aid kit. The prepared backpack would give us comforts for the journey. However, we wouldn't be too happy if we were then told we couldn't take our backpack with us for the excursion. We'd probably feel outside our comfort zone if we thought we'd got to make the journey without food, drink, clothing for cold and wet weather, a map or mobile phone so that we'd know our precise location, and the first aid kit to deal with minor emergencies. I wonder how we'd feel if we were told we'd just have to have faith and trust in God to provide for us. We all know of people who at some time or other have had to trust in God to provide them with food or shelter through the generosity of other people. This is exactly what the disciples of Jesus were being asked to do when Jesus gave them a test in ministry and evangelism. The luxury of a backpack was denied to them. Not because Jesus wanted them to go without food, to be cold at night, to have no money to top up their rations. And as they couldn't take anything with them, they didn't need a bag for their essentials. An extra garment would have been useful to put on during cold nights, but they had to have faith that God would lead them to indoor hospitality overnight. The disciples had travelled with Jesus, listening to his teaching, watching how he ministered to the sick and needy. Crowds were attracted to listen to the teaching of Jesus. But just before their mission, Mark shows us the event of Jesus himself being rejected in his hometown. The disciples witnessed him being rejected in the synagogue by people who'd probably known him from childhood to manhood and wondered how he could possibly have all his knowledge when they knew him as the local carpenter. We may wonder what impression this scene made on the disciples. Is this how they would be treated during their mission? Jesus told them that if they were refused a welcome anywhere, they were to leave and shake off the dust from that place off their sandals. Shaking the dust off footwear was a symbolic act practiced by the Pharisees when they left a place occupied by those not of the Jewish faith. However, the disciples weren't being asked to go it alone. They were going to go in twos for this test. In the ancient world, one person was not considered a credible witness, whereas two would be more acceptable. So the disciples embarked on their mission with authority from Jesus to call for the repentance of those they met and to heal the sick. This mission was to reveal their obedience and their willingness to put their faith and trust in Jesus and to witness to his lordship. Last Tuesday, the 29th of June, we remembered the lives of Saints Peter and Paul. Peter, the chief of the disciples and the first to acknowledge the lordship of Jesus, and Paul, who unpacked the meaning of Christ's lordship in his missionary journeys to places around the Mediterranean. Traditionally, the ordinations of those called to be priests and deacons take place around this time. In our own cathedral, these were held last weekend, and we pray for those who are at the beginning of their ministry in the name of Christ. And especially, we remember Heowen, ordained as a priest and serving in our own ministry area. Those who are being ordained or have been ordained at this time, pack their bags to go off and attend their preordination retreats to prepare for the event, which is the culmination of the training which has brought them to the point of ordination. I remember going on a weekend Mother's Union retreat when we were sharing the retreat house with a group of ordinands on their ordination retreat from a neighbouring diocese. They were having a silent retreat and maintaining their silence at mealtimes. Now, we also shared the dining room with them. We were told we could talk, but there again, we could choose to remain in silence in solidarity with the ordinands. Well, we did try. However, it didn't go unnoticed that they always seemed to be the first to congregate in the bar before supper. Ordination is the end of one journey and the beginning of another, which can bring great joy in sharing the lives of the people they serve as priests and deacons, but also pain in sharing the sorrows of those they encounter and come alongside. Like the disciples, newly ordained priests and deacons are sent out to proclaim the glory of God and put their trust in God to guide them on a journey which may go in different directions from the ones they expected. As Christians, whether ordained or not, we have been called to our individual vocations in God's service, to which we can respond afresh each day. And as we travel through life in the name of Jesus, we can carry with us in our backpack of faith words from one of the post-communion prayers. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. An affirmation of faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Strength that we may ever live our lives courageously.
As we enter into our time of prayer led by Anthea, let us first pray as our Saviour taught us.
Ein tad, yr hwnwyt yn y nefoedd, sancteiddiwr dy enw, dylid y deyrnas gwneler y wyllus, megis yn y nef felly ar ddear hefyd. Dyroi ni heddiw ein bara bynyddiol a maddau ni ein dyledion fel y maddau yw ninnau ein dyledwyr. Ac na garwain ni brofedigaeth eith i'r gwared ni rhag drwg, canes eiddot ti o'r deyrnas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant. Yn oes oesoedd. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, you created us in love and for eternity, and you gave your Son that we should not perish, but have everlasting life. As you give us life and love, as you give us yourself, help us to give our lives, our love, ourselves to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As the number of new cases continues to increase, we pray for all those whose lives have been impacted by COVID-19, for the sick and the bereaved, and for the frontline care workers. There are times, Lord, when we are reminded of our human fragility, needing your loving care through times of anxiety and illness. Touch us, Lord, with healing hands and words, that we might walk together through this temporary darkness into your glorious light. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the lonely and vulnerable. Dear Lord, let us not forget our neighbours at this time, not just those who live close by, but those in the wider community who are elderly, vulnerable, and very much isolated from the world outside their door. May they know that they are loved through our actions and care, and in their loneliness know your presence, healing and peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the leaders of both local and national governments facing difficult decisions every day. Give wisdom, Lord, to all in authority, not only leaders of nations but local communities, that actions and words are prompted by the needs of others and not for personal or political gain. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for our world. God of creation, who loves all he has made and all that has evolved, open the eyes of your people, that your love might be reflected in our care for the planet, through Jesus Christ, who walked this earth and calls us by name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for all those who are unwell. Dear Father, bless all those known to us who are suffering from sickness or infirmity. We pray especially for Matthew as he awaits his operation, and for Brian Francis, who is still in hospital. Draw close to them, we pray. Heal both mind and body with your gentle touch. May they know deep in their hearts that you are never closer than in our darkest day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, Lord, bless all those who mourn the death of a relative or friend and feel that with this loss, their lives are incomplete. Heal their brokenness with the soothing balm of your gentle touch, that they might know your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing, that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may be filled with hope. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon us, upon those we love, upon those for whom we have prayed, now and always. Amen. We end this online service with Charles Wesley's well-known hymn, Love Divine, or Love's Excelling, Joy of Heaven to Earth Come Down.
silence.